You're listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast on KSVG 89.7 FM, Savage Radio, City of License, Mettler, California.
On this episode of Sofa King podcast, we take a look at fast food in America. Once a small industry built on family and convenience, it has spread to be the most important and world-shaping element of the global industrialized food system. Your hosts will discuss fast food, how much they eat it, why they eat it, and what's wrong with it. From obesity epidemics to unsafe working conditions, it is a topic worth discussing. How big is fast food? Why do people claim it leads to obesity? What corporate practices might you be unaware of? And most importantly, how safe is your food? So supersize your value meal to include extra E. coli and chow down as we ask Brad to drop that funky intro.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
With me, Todd.
You say funny thing.
Gary, I'm home.
Wow, there's no effect, and I pulled that off. Yeah. I impressed myself. I couldn't hear myself.
That's funny. Yeah. Do some more. Talk about Sandy's vagina. Oh.
Sandy, I love you. One day I want to get married to you, Sandy.
I forgot. We're doing the clean version.
Patrick.
Why you keep cutting me off, SpongeBob?
Mr. Krabs.
Man, I'm impressing myself with that. That's not bad.
I've never seen SpongeBob.
What?
No.
You've heard him, though.
I know the comedian that plays him, but I've never heard.
Come to doesn't he look like one of the fishes, like the characters? If you look at him,
fishes,
just like the round, the round skull head, like with the beady eyes, like a Canadian.
There's so many characters on there, but that has a lot of adult humor. You'd probably dig it.
Yeah. Why are we talking about SpongeBob? Because he works at a fast food restaurant.
Yeah, he does. He works at the Krabby Burger.
Krusty Krab.
Krusty Krab.
Have you watched SpongeBob? That's what I want to know.
I've seen it a couple times.
Have you?
Before we talk about fast food, I wanna complain about something.
Let's hear it.
I got all excited. I'm reading all these like really dope reviews about Dr. Dre's new album. Like I'm really
Compton.
Yeah, I'm really stoked to get it. And read a bunch of really good reviews. They're saying, like, you know, the music has matured along with Dre. His beats are incredible. His production is great. His rap is as good as always. Like, you know, they're saying, like, the content matter is valid. It's not just, like, gangsta stuff. So I'm getting really hyped. And yep. I look, and there's, like, you know, I bring up my Google search for it, and it's all, you know, buy it on Amazon Prime. Buy it on Google Play and all this stuff. So I go and I can't find it anywhere. Like it exists nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, it must not have dropped yet.
iTunes.
Maybe it comes. Yeah. iTunes only.
Yeah.
That pisses me off. I hate iTunes. I'm not going to install iTunes, the virus, onto my computer, set up some asinine, stupid password that I have to enter 16 times just to buy the album, Not doing it.
I definitely love and hate Apple. Yeah, there's a lot of love hate.
I hate iTunes. That software sucks.
Man, you might as well had an AR-15 in your hand on that one. Just shots fired on
iTunes. I was so stoked. I was like, I'm going to buy Dre right now. I'm going to listen to it right now. And then it was like, yeah, if you want to spend the next 2 hours of your life installing iTunes and creating an account and, oh, sorry, you have too many accounts on too many computers. You can't use iTunes.
Right? Yeah, you think Bill Gates was your best friend.
Dave has the black guy, white guy internal battle every day. He's like getting hyped on a Dre album. And he's like, darn it, iTunes.
Dagnabbit. Yo, I'm going to get this album because, oh, it's on iTunes. Dang it. I'm appalled.
That was my complaint of the week. I was fully willing to go drop some money on Dre, hear what he has to say, but I hate iTunes.
Yeah.
What was your negative thing of the week?
Me?
Yeah, you.
That
guy right there.
Probably just nothing. I don't know. The week was slow. I destroyed my toe.
It's better now. That picture was pretty crazy.
I I blew my toe out, and then I blew my wrist out, sprained my wrist.
Brad has Ninja Turtle toes, for the record.
He does.
Yeah. He could arm wrestle with his toes. He has like gorilla dexterity with his feet. Man. His toes have a gap unmatched.
Now everybody's going to see me on the street and just walk up to me and immediately look down at my
look
feet
down
if
at
I have sandals on.
Yeah.
Like, God.
I'm going to get that picture off Facebook and Photoshop it green.
The Hulk.
Yeah.
The Hulk
toe. Well, were you wearing a gi in the picture?
No.
It's just his foot.
No.
So, yeah. So today we are talking about fast food. And my first question is, because I'm genuinely curious, how often do you guys, like being honest, how often do you guys eat fast food within any given week?
I'm being good right now, but I have to say, like, if I'm poor, which is often, it just happens. Like, it's so convenient to not have to, when I get off work, I'm tired. And my wife works late too. So to be able to just go home, go to Taco Bell and feed like four or five people for $15 and not have dishes and not have gone to the grocery store and not have to do the cooking. You know what I mean? I save 2 hours of my life and get 15 minutes in the drive through, get home, be done, crumble that paper up and throw it in the trash. And I know it's not good, but it happens a lot. Right now I'm being good though. I haven't eaten it in a while.
So when you're not being good, how often do you probably go?
And every day, probably when I'm not being good, that man, yeah,
just
in some way, yeah, oops,
write down that time.
Yep, forget about that.
We're all gonna do it,
yeah.
God dang it, darn it.
Yeah, I'm more like more often than not, breakfast, like a breakfast jack or something,
mm-hmm.
And then like restaurant for lunch. Like either pizza or, you know, like a restaurant.
Okay. But not necessarily fast food, but
yeah,
eating
but
out.
I don't know. As I've read, it doesn't even seem as good. Like even restaurants are similar to fast food places with their salads and stuff.
Sure.
You know, they have tons of calories and they put chemicals on them and keep the leaves crisp.
I once made a rule that I just wouldn't eat any place that had a drive-through. And that was a pretty solid rule.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, you don't lose, like if you're trying to lose weight and you say, well, I'm not going to have fast food, but then you constantly eat out at a restaurant,
yeah,
you're still, you don't lose weight.
Well, money-wise, the restaurant's crazy. Like
yeah,
we went to Mexicali and it was just me, my wife, my two kids, and it was like $70.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's crazy. Yeah,
for enchiladas, rice, and beans. Like,
yeah,
no, it's stuff
crazy.
I can make at home, yeah.
I look,
yeah,
like, even, and I mean, that's part of the appeal of fast food. It's like if I went to a sit-down Chinese restaurant or if I was at home and I just called, like, Chinese takeout and ordered, like, three or four entrees and some rice or something,
yeah,
I'm going to be out $50-$60.
Yeah, Great Castle, $60.
Yeah, to feed three,
good,
four people,
yeah,
that's what you're out. If you hit the drive-through on Panda Express, you're going to be out $20 and you're going to have more food, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fast food, that's part of the allure of fast food is just how freaking cheap it is.
McDonald's has that, how much is it? I can't remember how much it is. It's a 50-piece nugget they have on the window right now. You get a 50-piece nugget, I think,
why do you need that many nuggets?
It's under $10, too.
You got 50 nuggies.
Well, let me say this. I know people are going to say, well, you get 50 nuggets because, you know, my four kids love nuggets, and if I get that and a couple of fries, no, that's not true.
McDonald's
it's
has
just
a,
some
that's like 12
sweaty,
and a half, 12
it's
and a half
sweaty,
nuggets for a kid.
Pale cave fish who never leaves his mom's basement and screams upstairs and says, Mom, I want a 50-piece nugget.
Get it yourself, Alfred.
Just playing Warcraft.
I'm playing Grand Theft Auto.
That's who eats the 50-piece nugget.
Taco Bell's king, though. Like, you can go there and get, like, when they had those other meals, I can't remember what they're called. It was, like, you got a burrito.
$5 box.
A bag of, less than that. It was $2. And it was a drink, a burrito, and a small grab bag of Doritos.
Yeah. Fast food's gotten more expensive, though. Like, you used to be able to go to Taco Bell, get some stuff for the whole family, and then it'd be, like, $8, $10. Now it's, like, $20. You know, like, everything's doubled in price.
It still stayed the cheapest among everyone else.
Yeah.
Still
well, Jack in the Box is pretty cheap. You can get, like, 50 tacos.
Well, my problem is, like, I go to the grocery store to make – I'm going to make spaghetti and garlic bread and a salad and try to be like, oh, we're going to be good. But if I – that's, like, $30. to do that, like to buy hamburger and the sauce and get the bread and the salad, and you get, and then you got to go do it and buy it and wait in line and get home and make it and then wash the dishes. And it's,
but if you notice, if you ate dinner at home, even if it's not the best meal, like it could be hamburger helper,
right?
And you feel better than it's if true. You have to, fast food restaurant. Like, and that's what we'll get into is what type of things are they putting on fast food? Something as simple as a salad, they put, you know, they spray stuff onto the lettuce to keep it crisp. Well, that stuff that they put on the lettuce is toxic.
Right.
And it makes that salad, it kind of nullifies the point. Like, you're, oh, I'm going to go have a, I'm going to go to McDonald's, but I'm going to get a salad. Like, it, and then it defeats the purpose because the salad is 1500 calories.
Right.
More than a Big Mac.
And that's part of the
breaded chicken.
And if you get the packet of dressing from a fast food salad and read the list of ingredients, it's like, I mean, if you went to a legitimate restaurant and got a salad with a vinaigrette and asked to see their ingredients, it's olive oil, vinegar, some pepper, some garlic, like that's what's in this thing. There's xanthan gum and derivative. Yeah. I mean, the list is the as long as the package and the calories are just through the roof. And I mean, it's the same thing. It's like everybody talks about, you know, you look at the old Subway ads where you saw Jared and he talked about how he lost all this weight by eating just Subway every single day of the week. So everybody's like, oh, if I eat Subway every day of the week, I'm going to lose weight. And it's like, well, he wasn't eating a foot long, you know, marinara with quadruple cheese and extra avocado and bacon with a side of chips and a chocolate chip cookie. He was eating a foot long veggie delight sandwich with no mayo or cheese. Yeah, and he lost weight.
It's a foot long. That's really only 11 inches.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. They got sued, and then they said, well, the sandwich is called a foot long. That's not representing the size of the sandwich.
That's awesome.
And you know, for the people out there, the propylene glycol is what's on the salads, and it's considered safe for consumption for some reason, but it's also in antifreeze and sexual lubricants.
Isn't propylene glycol what's in e-cigarettes?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you're eating stuff that's it's just bad. It's not good for you.
No.
So just thinking about that, like if you had the choice of having that or not having that, you're always going to say, I'm not having
that. Right. I would, you know, I will choose like, not to have that.
I'm going
to
have the glass of milk over the antifreeze.
Right.
You know, please.
Right.
So, you know, and I think one of the biggest things for fast food is that it's kind of like the don't ask, don't tell policy for the military. You
right.
know? Like, I'm not going to ask you what's in it. Don't tell me. And then I'm going to eat it.
Right.
You know,
my biggest problem with that is like to their defense is you can't fault them. They're a business, right?
Oh, and yeah. Nobody's faulting them.
They want to make their stuff taste better. It has to last longer for distribution and whatnot. It has to get shipped across. It has to sit in the fridge. They have to do certain things to make it work. And everybody knows it. We all know it. We just do it. It's just food addiction, you know, something in your brain that's been proven for salt, sugar, and MSG and all that stuff. It causes the same dopamine response in your brain that cocaine does.
Yeah.
Like they've proven that.
And well, they target, there's three main things that our brains, the human brain is hardwired to find desirable in food. Mm-hmm. And it is salt, caffeine. Fat. Yeah. Caffeine. That's the fourth one. It's salts, fats, and sugars, because those are three things that in nature are really hard to get. So when you find food that's got salt, fats, or sugars, it tastes better to your caveman brain than anything else.
Yeah.
But guess what? Everything at a fast food restaurant is jam-packed with salts, foods, and sugars, and our brain is literally addicted to those flavors, and we want to eat them.
Yeah, and back in the day, you weren't going to just stumble across like an orange orchard or something and just eat all the – it would be during a certain season you might come get some berries or something.
Yeah.
You know, you had to chase a buffalo for a week to get that much fat, so you had to run –
Even the orange thing, it's like, especially living in Southern California where we do, it's like, oranges, whoop-de-doo. But it's like, talking to my dad, he grew up in Michigan, you know, in the 1940s and 50s, and he said that at Christmas, his parents would give him and his brothers and sisters an orange, and it was their favorite gift because they hadn't seen an orange in months.
I have a real sad story about that.
What's that?
When I was little, they would always tell a story about my stepdad. He That was a sad story. Stepdad. It's over. No, he was so poor that all he got for Christmas one time, and it was like that. It was like some Oklahoma story. They gave him an orange for Christmas, and it was all he got.
And he cried.
No, he saved it in his drawer. And then it got moldy and rotted.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And then he couldn't eat it. He went. He's like, he didn't want to eat it because it was the only present.
Is that the sad story that he was retarded?
Yeah, that is a sad story.
That's awful. Yeah.
He wasn't aborted.
See, now if
radio edit.
If he would have gotten a Millennium Falcon, it wouldn't have rotted in his drawer.
No.
Yeah, but who would have cared about that?
Me.
Does it have sodium like the fries in McDonald's do? I think that's what one of the things I read was that the hash browns or fries anywhere is probably the worst thing you can do because it has so much sodium propionate in it.
Yeah. They're really bad. And the French fries, I know McDonald's, and they got in a lot of trouble for this. They used to inject the French fries. They would mush up the potatoes and they would inject the French fries with beef tallow. Yep. And then they would fry it in lard. So that was what they used to fry it.
Fries, man.
So that was sort of the distinct flavor of the McDonald's French fry. But on all of their publication information, the French fries were listed as a vegetarian ingredient.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. So a lot of religious groups who consider it to be sacrilegious to eat beef suddenly realized that there's beef tallow in their French fries. Ooh. And they sued McDonald's, and McDonald's finally changed it. But they didn't want to change the way their French fries tasted, so they came up with an artificial beef tallow that they now inject in the French fries, and they came up with a vegetable oil that tastes exactly like frying in lard. So all of the – like I'm a vegan, so I wouldn't have eaten those French fries that were filled with beef tallow and fried in lard. But I have a brain in my head, so I don't want to eat French fries that are filled with fake beef tallow and fried in chemical lard.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, well, I don't know.
I don't know that that's better. Whatever weird ass ingredients they put in that thing to taste like beef tallow, I don't want to eat that.
I read an article about McDonald's, it was a while back. So I don't know how much merit there is to it, but that they got fined by the health department for the way that they store the sliced cheese in their prep stations because it was not refrigerated, and because it's a dairy product, it's supposed to be refrigerated, and so they were going to get like a $10,000 fine per McDonald's location, which would be like insane.
Right.
They took the health department to court and fought and won because it's not cheese, and they won.
Oh wow!
It's like plastic. It was like synthesized vegetable protein and salt with like yellow number.
Yeah, they're
five.
You can't store the cheese that way. You're like, yeah, we're not storing the cheese that way.
Don't worry,
that's not cheese. Yeah.
Trust me,
they won, we're
feeding our customers plastic. It's way better than
delicious
cheese.
Plastic, though.
Yeah. Fun fact about McDonald's is that I read in an article about McDonald's and how many chains there were. You can never be anywhere in the world. You can never be more than 115 miles from a McDonald's.
Wow.
I went to France, Spain, Italy, Germany, Holland, and Switzerland, and there was McDonald's everywhere, like on every corner, just as much.
Yep. And the next fastest growing chain is Starbucks, which I don't know if you'd consider that fast food, but they do have fast food breakfast sandwiches with the fake egg and all that stuff. You know, I don't know how good that is. Because I was reading a lot about the fake eggs, and it's not good. Like, they're nasty.
That's a good question. I guess I would have to call Starbucks a fast food restaurant because they all have drive-thrus, and you pull up, and you can order those breakfast sandwiches that are hot. Boom. You get them in a minute.
Yep. They microwave them and throw them out. You know, so it's already pre-made egg, which is fast food egg.
Right.
And they open up two stores every day.
Whoa.
Two Starbucks open every single day since 1987.
That fact was so shocking that it turned Brent into Keanu Reeves.
Whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, Point Break.
Yeah, well, I could bend spoons now, too. I was the Matrix. I was Neo. Yeah. I read a thing about McDonald's. The first McDonald's that opened in Kuwait, the first day that it opened, the line to the drive-thru was 7 miles long.
Good Lord. Now they didn't have to worry about topping
crazy?
Off. They have plenty of gas. One of the biggest issues that comes up when you look at fast food has to be issues of food safety. And most specifically, if we look at E. coli, the E. coli, what is it, 0157H7, the really deadly E. coli that exists, and it flat out exists. I mean, part of the problem with E. coli is that this is part of the problem of the modern industrial food industry. The cattle, because you have to have factory farms in order to feed fast food. You can't just have regular small ranches.
Right.
You have to have the factory farms that just go through.
Any consistency.
They pump out food, yeah.
You know, just pump out food. They kill dozens of cows a minute. Like, you've got to do it that way or else there's no way to provide the amount of meat.
Yeah.
The problem is at the factory, the two problems. One, at the factory farms, the cows are fed corn. And it's not a natural diet for cows. So because they're being fed corn, they end up getting diseases in their gut. And that's where E. coli, this particular deadly strain of E. coli spreads in their intestine, in their guts. And studies have showed that if you got them back on a regular diet, 85% of the E. coli in a cow's gut would vanish in something like 3 days.
Damn.
If they got off of a corn diet. But they eat this corn diet the whole time. The corn is packed with antibiotics. It's not like, oh, if they get sick, we'll give them antibiotics. They're just eating antibiotics every single day in the feed,
yeah,
because they walk through their own waste. They're covered in their own poop. They're filled with disease. Like, this is the sort of the area where the cows
and me and Brenner are shaking our heads.
My diet's getting so much easier.
Now,
I'm just not going to eat.
So they take the cows, put them in the slaughterhouse, and the slaughterhouse has to move very quickly with untrained workers, most of whom are illegal immigrants because nobody's going to work those jobs otherwise. But so they're killing the cows very quickly. Some of the cows don't die. So when they start cutting them open, they start squirming. They have to re-kill them.
Ugh.
But they're already over the food prep. So now these squirming, writhing cows are dropping what's in their intestine and the poop caked on their hides into the prepared meat. So E. coli is in the meat. Like, it's not, yeah, I wonder if it's in the meat. In the meat. Yeah. It is there 100% guaranteed.
What's the life cycle of it? Because it probably dies most of it before it makes it to the consumer.
No, it's very, very hardy and you need hardly any of it to get infected. So they try to treat the meat with ammonia, which tasty. Then they freeze it. But the problem is, even frozen, it's still alive. And the thing that kills the E. coli is proper cooking. So if you cook it to whatever temperature, this frozen patty,
you overcook it pretty much.
Yeah. Right. But when you cook it to a certain temperature, it kills the E. coli. So according to all the FDA regulations, it's not that the E. coli can't be allowed in the food. It's that the food can't be served unless it's reached X temperature. Now,
wow.
When I was 16 years old, I worked at Ritzy Burger.
Ritzy Burger?
Ritzy Burger.
That must be in Michigan.
It was in Michigan.
Because it ain't here.
It ain't
here.
What was the outfit? It sounds like there were tuxedos.
It was a tuxedo.
Really?
It was a
burger place?
Putting on the Ritz, like a guy with a top hat and a monocle.
That's exactly what I pictured.
It was Ritzy Burger. So I work at Ritzy Burger. I'm 16 years old. The girl next to me literally is just sticking markers in a bag and huffing them.
Whoa.
The guy on the other side of me is baked on weed, and I'm an idiot who just wants to go home and play Dungeons and Dragons. And the FDA is assuming that the three of us are going to cook this patty until the E. coli is dead, right? I mean, it's going to spread. The other thing is, if I handle the meat and I'm not wearing gloves, and then I handle cooked fries, the E. coli is on the fries, and it's very virulent and it's very dangerous. And this is part of the problem of fast food. We have untrained workers who are paid a low wage, so they don't care, and they're working in an environment where disease, and it kills people. It kills thousands of people a year, and they get it from fast food restaurants. And every time they try to pass laws like Kevin's law that will try to make it safer against E. coli, the laws get shot down because of lobbyists. They never stand a chance in court. It's a pretty bad scenario.
There's a local Mexican meat market. I won't say names because I actually love the place. But like, you have to like be on guard. Like, I would go there and buy meat, and they would put their gloves on, fill up the bags full of meat. And then because I was on a low carb diet, I would have them. They make some really good jerky there.
Right.
And there's this thing of jerky, but the problem is it's probably on there anyway. Now that I'm realizing it right now, every time I would say, and I need to get 1 pound of jerky, they would walk straight over there with those bloody gloves And there would be this huge awkward moment where I'm like, excuse me, can you change your gloves? And I'm like, God, I got to be this guy. And they would like, sure. And roll, like kind of roll their eyes and huff, you know, to the side.
Right.
And put their new gloves on like this ass, this bad guy trying to keep it clean. Sorry. And but then I just now realized, like, I bet the guy before was like, I don't ask him to take their gloves off.
Right. Exactly. Nobody wants to.
So I probably got the last guy's E. coli jerky in my bag.
Right.
Apparently I'm
and
a
then,
champion.
And then it spread. I mean, you know, when you're growing a typical crop, like a non-organic, common, I'm just going to go buy whatever at the grocery store crop.
Right.
They need fertilizer. I wonder where I can get cheap fertilizer. Factory farms,
right,
where all the poop is full of E. coli.
Right.
So when you hear, you know, 30 times a year that spinach and lettuce and strawberries and whatever are tainted with E. coli, it's because of the poop from the factory farms being used as fertilizer to grow regular
crops.
Yeah,
that's actually one of the most common infections over meat, I heard, was lettuce and spinach.
Yeah.
Because of the runoff from the water that gets used or whatever in the fertilizer. Mm-hmm. It always says pre-washed on there, but man, I guess if
but
you
man,
wanna,
I'm paranoid about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like you don't
and
know.
And salmonella is bad. I mean, listeria is bad. There are other bad diseases, but E. coli is deadly, especially for children and for older people. It can flat out kill people, and it doesn't need much. You need like one or two E. coli germs in your system and they'll spread. So it's really virulent and it's really common, and it's part of this industrialized mechanic that happens through the process of getting enough meat to feed the, you know, McDonald's restaurants across the street from each other. I mean,
the other problem they have is I heard that in one hamburger, like in 1 pound of hamburger meat, you could have represented in that 1 pound up to 5,000 different cows, because the large quantities that they do when they grind the meat, up to 5,000 cows could be in one batch.
Yeah, that was a big thing on, you know, reading about unhealthy fast food, and it says there can be up to 100 different cows in one patty,
right,
for your hamburger.
Right.
That's crazy. You
and
know?
So if one of those was infected, now they're all infected, right, and the whole batch is infected, instead of batching it out some other way to contain it, and it'd be like, oh, batch number 5 is infected, but batch 2 is cool.
And the worst part, as far as I'm concerned personally, the worst part of all of this, again, gets into the lack of power that the people or the government have against the power of the corporation. And what I mean here is that the United States is the only major Western country where the government does not have the power to recall unsafe food. So if we found out for sure that this slaughterhouse had, you know, tainted meat that had E. coli in it to a, you know, even worse degree, or this spinach has it or whatever, the government can't force stores to pull it off the shelf to safeguard the population. Every other nation can do that except the United
that
States.
That seems weird.
It's all voluntary because it's been lobbied out of the FDA's hands.
I was gonna say,
it all belongs to the food companies themselves. It's all voluntary food recalls.
Well, that makes sense because Burger King had the thing with the horse meat. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, where they deemed the horse meat, the burger was 100%. Horse meat.
I think it's an urban legend or myth.
No, it was an actual stat.
Well, here's my argument. There's lots of cows. There's not that many horses. It wouldn't be viable
to do that. The place that they were getting the meat from was bad. It wasn't Burger King themselves. They were just getting their patties.
Right.
You know, but once they tested them, they had horse meat.
Where are you getting all these horses?
I
don't know.
I think if I remember that story right, I think it was in France. I think it was a Burger King in France.
Because
in France it's a more like
horse meat.
Yeah, slaughtering horses is more common, and but still you're waiting for a cow burger and you get a horse burger and you don't know.
Yeah.
Like that's part of the problem.
There was that thing, and I don't know how real it is too, that there was a few McDonald's meat warehouses that they tested, and they had all kinds of different meats, including human meats. I don't know how like much of the percentage was, but the human meat was found in with the McDonald's beef. You know, it's supposed to be 100% beef or whatever it is, all beef. And there was all kinds of different animals and human found in the beef.
Pyrenees Cafe, Basque Restaurant, 601 Sumner Street. Open daily 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. 323-0053.
Norris Barbershop, Oildale's full-service barbershop, family-oriented, specializing in men and boys haircuts. Hours are Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., located at 316 Norris Road, 393-5601.
Brian Smog and Automotive, old-style automotive repair shop specializing in smog check and repair. Brian Smog and Automotive offers general automotive repair, timing belt replacements, general maintenance and service, as well as electrical diagnostic and related repairs to give customers peace of mind to drive in a fast-paced world. They are located at 615 East 21st Street. The number is 321-0505.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
Probably like someone lost a finger and they didn't pull the trigger on like throwing it out.
No,
I don't think they're hiding.
That's even worse.
Because it's one of the, working in a slaughterhouse is one of the most dangerous jobs on earth. I mean, people lose their limbs, people get burned with chemicals, people get kicked in the head with cows, repetitive stress injuries. I mean, it's what people lose limbs on a daily basis.
Yeah. And they try and cover that up probably, especially if you're an illegal alien working in a slaughterhouse and you lose your arm and it goes into the batch of meat. Like, are they going to report that?
The injury report is insane. Like, I watched a thing where a guy read off the fast food or like, no, actually it was the slaughterhouse meat packing plant injury report. And it was from like 1996 up. And it was like, employee loses hand, employee loses finger, employee decapitated. Like, it was gnarly.
It's gnarly. And again, this is what starts to frustrate me so bad, is it used to be that there were thousands of OSHA, the Occupational Safety Hazard Administration, that inspects workplaces to make sure they're safe, right? There used to be thousands of inspectors that would watch slaughterhouses, fast food restaurants, everything.
Yeah.
But they got cut and they got cut and they got cut to the point that now there are only a handful. I forget the exact number, but it's something like every OSHA inspector would have to inspect something like 300 businesses a day in order to meet the amount that they have to. So it's never going to happen.
Right.
So everyone has to voluntarily report whether or not they're being safe.
Yeah.
So the slaughterhouse just kind of sends in a report and says, yep, we're cool.
Everything's good.
Everything's good here, you know.
Everybody's got their digits.
Hector quit last week. Yeah, he doesn't work here anymore.
It's such a mess. And the thing is, the companies, IBP, Cargill, these big meat companies, they recruit south of the border. They pull people up. They actually have like sort of unofficial like coyote trains that will get people up here to cities where the slaughterhouses are, because they fill the slaughterhouses with illegal workers.
Yeah.
A, no one else wants the job. And B, when the illegal worker gets half of his hand cut off, they ship him back.
Yeah.
Right.
So
we just deport him. We don't have to worry about getting sued.
Yeah. So they're definitely not supporting Donald Trump then.
No.
With the wall at the border. Yeah.
Donald Trump can't eat McDonald's.
Yeah. And this is my problem, though. I mean, obviously, like I was saying earlier, if you're going to run a business, you want to make more money, you want to make a better product. Yeah. Like, they're going to mess with stuff so it tastes good.
They're not necessarily making a better product. They're going to make it where it tastes better.
That's what I meant by that. Yeah.
Cheaper with filler.
Yeah. So, Dave, this is the thing. Like, tomorrow, you're CEO of McDonald's. Do you honestly think if you were all powerful, you would just crash the company without personal bias to try to make it more viable and eco-friendly and health friendly? What kind of change could you possibly make, though? There's like shareholders, there's all this stuff in place.
Well, no, that's the thing. If somebody got appointed CEO of McDonald's or Taco Bell is actually part of
Pepsi.
Yum. They own
a bunch of different ones.
They own pretty much everything.
KFC,
they own almost everything.
KFC, Taco Bell.
I thought that was just McDonald's. Pepsi. Isn't it just Pepsi?
Pepsi, yeah.
They either own Pepsi or owns them. I forget.
Right.
Pepsi owns them.
But if I was the CEO of whatever big thing and I showed up to the boardroom and said, look, here's the deal. We need to fix where we get our food and no longer use illegal immigrants. We need to, you know, have safe workplaces. We need to make sure we don't get E. coli. We need to do all this stuff. Someone on the board is going to say, so then how much is my 99-cent cheeseburger going to cost?
Yeah,
and you're going to be like, it's going to cost about $7.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, you're fired.
Right.
And I'm not going to be able to do the change.
So
we hold them accountable, though, and we're judging the shit out of them, but
you can't do anything.
You can't do anything
about it. All you can do is not eat it. You're ultimately, I could hold out a pile of, you know, doo-doo in my hand and a hamburger in the other that I made at my house. It's your choice which one you want to eat.
People are going to keep buying it. Right. I'm talking about it. I'm going to still buy it. I'm not, there's no way right now after I'm doing this. I'm talking about all this gross stuff. I'm still going to, I'm not on my diet and I'm slipping, I'm going to go get a cheeseburger and fries.
Yeah, I'm pretty, it's gonna happen. Man.
I have to say that I have switched to like Frosty King, like the locally owned family run burger joints. Cause it is 1,000 times
better. But they still get their patties from somewhere.
They buy it at the Smart and Final.
They get their food from Sysco, which is the largest, food producer. I mean, granted, McDonald's has their own supply line of meat, but Sysco is getting meat from the same. I think there's only 13 slaughterhouses in America right now. There are 13 major slaughterhouses. I mean, there used to be thousands. Thousands and thousands.
Well, they just got bigger. They got bigger, though.
Right.
They're the mega slaughterhouses. Yeah, exactly. Mega dairy type slaughterhouses.
Right. I heard a crazy thing about why McDonald's doesn't have tomatoes on their burgers. Because there's not enough tomatoes in the world to do it. They couldn't do it. They cannot put, I mean, they have specialty sandwiches that every once in a while there will be like,
put a tomato on
this one has a tomato on it, like a chicken sandwich.
Those don't sell as much as a quarter pounder.
Yeah, but they can't put tomatoes on there because there is no one can supply it.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you look at the stats and it's like McDonald's is the number one server, the number one buyer and seller of beef in the nation, of potatoes in the nation, of bread, of lettuce. They're
probably in the world.
And
I mean, just in the U.S., fast food's a $200 billion industry.
Wow.
So I mean, that's insane.
That being said, though, McDonald's, kudos for their innovation of what they did. You know, as far as like, and I in my studying for this, it was really neat how the car. Did you guys see any of that? Like, it's because of the car. It's
because of the car.
That all happened. Like, everyone was stuck at home. It was like horse-drawn carriage. You have to just make your food.
Yeah.
You couldn't get anywhere because you're not going to walk, 20 blocks to get to some place to eat if you don't live by it. And as soon as they made the car, everyone was able to move. And then we go out. It changed the whole culture. People drove around to places and started doing things, socially and publicly. And then they started making little restaurants you could go to.
And then it started. I mean, I think another part of the myth that built up is it started in Southern California. It started with the McDonald brothers. It started with Carl Karcher. From Carl's Jr., like they were all in Southern California, and they were the ones that started to really popularize this drive-through experience. And then everybody was like, "Oh, California is awesome, and they're doing this." And then it just
it actually started in Texas, though. That's what they think, that it started in California. It started at some place called called the Piggy or the Pig. Something like that. I can't remember. Something the Pig. But that place started it, and then and actually, White Castle started in 1928.
White Castle was the first fast food.
White Castle
was
the first. 1928. Yeah. McDonald's.
But I don't think it blew up until McDonald's and Carl's Jr. really perfected.
I got another fun fact for you for the White Castle burgers. They have five. I didn't even know this. They have five holes in them. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
White Castle patties have five holes. It looks like a dice.
Uh-huh. Right.
And it's so they don't have to flip them when they cook them. Which I thought
it
was interesting.
Flip. I didn't know it was because of that.
No, they just put them on the grill. No, they put them on the grill, and with those holes, it's able to cook the entire burger. They have one in the center and then four on each corner, and it's able to cook the entire burger through those holes.
I've never been to a White Castle. Have you been to White Castle?
No, I've never been to a White Castle. They're in L.A., but you can buy the little White Castle burgers.
Those are horrible.
They're good.
Nope.
I love them.
I used to. They were pretty big in Michigan. There were White Castles all over the place. And
I bought some of those White Castle ones from the frozen thing because I had White. It tastes AMPM. If AMPM is good. That should taste like a 7-Eleven.
They have the little McDonald's onions on them. Mm.
I was never crazy for White Castle, but all of my friends in Michigan were crazy about White Castle. They would go nuts, and they would.
It's not. I mean, it's horrible food. Like if you really think about it, it is horrible food. But there's like places like Panera. People go to Panera thinking that Panera is fresh sandwiches and all this stuff. Well, I was reading a lot of their stuff is frozen. All their pastas, everything they get is all microwaved.
Right.
All their baked goods are all frozen that come in from kind of like Starbucks, same thing.
I went there once, horrible. That was, I got like these turkey bacon avocado sandwiches, and I got the saddest. Looked like my 6-year-old son made them and threw them in a bag for me. And I got back to the shop. I was like $17 later. I was like, this is
that's
like
expensive.
It was like lettuce, mayonnaise, and turkey.
Yeah.
No bacon, no avocado.
Yeah.
I like emailed the place and they're like, really sorry, we're going to send you a gift card. Like, what's your email? Want
it because I'm not eating there.
No, I said, I'll give you one more chance, I guess, if you want to give me a gift card, but you might want to look into whatever's going on right. California Avenue in Bakersfield. Like, right. This sucks. And I was like, and that was my first experience. I'll try one more time to give you the benefit of the doubt. They never gave me the gift card.
Yeah. Like, nope. They have a turkey sandwich that's pretty good, and then you get a soup. So you get like half a sandwich and a soup, and the soup tastes like Progresso.
I can make that. That's my problem with that. I get soup. That. I can make that at home and better.
Yeah, see, yeah it is.
I've gone in there, and that's where we've talked.
Yeah. It's the convenience. Like, right. Yeah, you could make chicken noodle soup at home, but it's going to take you all day. You know, right, like, right. And to go get a sandwich real quick and pay $50, you but know, the thing, and then you're
the
out
thing
of there.
The thing that always baffles me is it's like I could drive to Panera and I could get some bread and a sandwich or whatever, or I could go to some downtown deli that makes delicious sandwiches that's just a local deli that does yeah. it right. I could go to, you know, stank-ass Olive Garden and eat the worst wow. food that acts like it's Italian ever.
I hate Olive Garden. You like Olive Garden?
It's all right. It's not.
It's
like Taco Bell Mexican food. It's not really Italian food.
But I mean, people, you know, I could go there and eat food that's exactly as unhealthy as McDonald's, but it's packaged as if it's ritzier.
Yeah.
Or I could go
Ritzy
to,
Burger.
You know, right. Yeah. Ritzy Burger. Like right around the corner from my house is an amazing Italian restaurant that's local. It's been in business for 50 years. It costs less than Olive Garden. They make their own sauce. Yeah. They get fresh Pyrenees bread. It's like, I can go there and get it's like good food is everywhere, but people don't eat it.
Yeah.
It's not as quick though. You can't go roll through the drive-through and get that though.
And it's usually more expensive. Yeah, because you're getting local ingredients a lot of times, and you know, small business owners, it costs more money. I mean,
that's part of it. There's one of the things when you look into it, there's an economic principle called externalization. And the idea here is a hamburger costs X amount of money, no matter what, to make the bread, to get the beef, to put on some mayo, to get the lettuce. Let's just say it costs $10 for a burger. That's what it costs. No matter, that's the pure economics of a burger. But if I go to McDonald's, I pull up in a dirty ass parking lot that no one's ever cleaned. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they didn't have to pay someone to clean the parking lot just peeled a quarter off of my burger. Mm-hmm. And I walk in and I walk up to the counter where there's a girl smacking her gum and rolling her eyes at me, tapping, you know, an untrained, unskilled person tapping buttons.
We just made people who work at me.
It's like, well, no, I've worked at the same thing. I didn't know what I was doing at the time, but it's like they, you know, instead of you having someone who seats you and getting, you know, having a server, which has to get paid money, you seat yourself. You pick up your own food. A microphone comes up, number 43. You pour your own soda. You bus your own table. So all these things suddenly make the burger go from $10 to $7. Yeah. Then they don't pay a wage to the people who work there. Then they get rid of OSHA regulations. Then they hire illegal immigrants. Then they don't care if there's E. coli in the burger. And now the burger has somehow come down to 99 cents.
Yeah. And I want to talk about wages, fast food wages, and if we agree that they need to be higher or not. But I wanted to get to the we've all heard about it. And this is one thing that really kind of grossed me out was the fast food chili. So like Wendy's chili.
Don't ruin it for me, dude. Wendy's chili.
Okay. I'm sorry right now. So the meat that they use in the chili is the old hamburger meat, the old beef.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's old beef that they put in there. And this is, I've looked multiple places, multiple sources. That's what is in the chili is the old beef. The other thing is the filler. And we've all heard about it, and I was talking about this earlier. You guys told me to stop talking, was the silicon dioxide. Silicon dioxide is found in quartz, okay? It's also the little balls that you find in your shoebox to keep everything fresh.
Okay.
That's a similar silica.
It's a drying agent.
Yeah, it's a drying agent. Silica is also found in quartz, and it's also sand that they use to make glass.
It says poison on those packs in your shoe, though.
Yeah, it is poison. There's silica sand that you buy at Home Depot or Lowe's. Right. You can go there, look up, go down in the construction aisle, and go look at bags of silica sand.
I used to be a pool guy, and that's what I had to buy to fill the pool filters.
That's what
on
you
sand
filter. Yeah. And if you look on the label, you do not breathe that sand in because it has what in it? Silica.
Right.
So then what are they doing with the
silicon dioxide? Silicon dioxide has been deemed edible on some level.
It just it filters your farts.
It's a filler. Yeah. So yeah, you're putting sand filter. It is sand, basically. I mean, they put sand into the chili as a filler.
Okay, I'm going to say it right now. I don't even care.
Well, that's fine. I'm just saying.
Isn't that weird, though? I don't care. I'm saying it. Like, I'm a smart guy. Like, I don't fucking care for some reason. Why is that? Like, something's overriding in my head.
What's wrong with you?
I'm sorry. Man. Wages, though. You brought up wages because I wanted to bring that
up.
Yeah,
I was talking about chili, though.
Yeah, but you said wages, though. You did say wages, and you wanted to talk about that, and then you started talking about chili, so.
Yeah, I said I want to talk about two things, wages, but I want to talk about chili first.
Good thing it's recorded because you didn't say two things.
I did.
We'll go back.
We'll go back.
You didn't.
I did. I don't know. I said I want to talk about two things, one of them being wages, but first.
Are you done breaking my chili dreams?
Chili, because the chili is not good. I'm just letting you know.
It is good. Have you had it, though?
I've had better chili. I can make I can make better chili, and I suck at making chili
for 20 something bucks at the store.
No,
and it takes hours.
No, not even. I could probably make chili for about 10 bucks that'll feed for like a week.
I don't know.
Super easy.
How many pounds of ground beef you use?
One.
All right, that's like $6.
No, you can get it for $4.99 at Wooddale, and it's Harris Ranch beef.
People don't know what Wooddale is. That's not. Not everyone can go to Wooddale.
I didn't say Oildale, Brent.
People don't even know what that is.
So wages.
$15. They wages. Changed it to in Washington. Man. They changed the wages to $15 an hour. There's all these giant protests. All these people wanted to get their wages up.
I don't even think I make $15 an hour.
I don't. I just did some calculations last month. I don't make $15
an hour. And you own your own business.
Yeah. So the problem that happened, though, everyone cried about it. They wanted more money. We're not being paid enough. Pay all these fast food workers $15. And what happened was it passed. They did it. And all the workers, a lot of the workers, because it's not that's not a career. You're not supposed to raise four kids,
it's
a family off that.
It's for a teenager to go there and give you your crappy burger.
Exactly.
And then go get a real job.
It's like a placeholder job while you're going to school. Yeah. You're not supposed to make that your career unless you're in management. I have to say I had a friend that worked at
McDonald's, though. The thing is, though, like McDonald's, we talked about McDonald's this whole time. It's one of the worst fast food places probably. That's why it gets the most heat anyway.
Right.
They're all bad. McDonald's management gets paid good money.
$50,000.
You know why, though? Because they have a freaking degree. They have to have degrees to be in management.
Yeah, I think they have a management training program.
They
have to have a degree.
No, they want their managers to have degrees.
No, I think they do. Same thing with, I remember years and years ago, I was sitting at either a Carl's Jr. or a Jack in the Box or something. It was when I was still in school, and there was a big poster that they were currently hiring a store manager, and one of the requirements was you had to have a college degree.
So my point was, though, a lot of the workers were low-income workers that were receiving government aid and food stamps and whatnot. As soon as they got that $15 an hour raise, they were all not qualified for those things. So like 80% of them went back and asked for less hours so they could get their government assistance back.
And I would say, no, you get paid $15 an hour. We're working you this much.
Why do you need the assistance now if you're making $15 an hour?
Right. Like,
they're just trying to work the system. And that's the whole point is if you're there and you've been working at McDonald's for 10 years, and you're a cashier or a line cook, like, well, I don't even think they're considered line cooks, like whatever they are, like whatever they are, you're flipping burgers. And this is no offense to anybody out there. Like if you're out there and that's what job you have.
At least you have a job. You're working.
Yeah, you have a job, you're working. I'm not ragging on you for that. But I mean, really, how much money do you need to make for a job that doesn't really require any skill? People can come in and do the job.
Yeah.
And that's
guess what
sad.
They did. Here's what McDonald's did as a response. There's a really cool picture online. They ripped out their front counter and made a like this round counter. It was like 80% of a circle.
Yeah.
And there's like 7 or 8 robot ordering stations.
Yeah.
And one person makes bags, like one person makes all the orders, the other person bags and hands them out or something and runs the drive through at the same time.
Yeah.
So now they cut all their employees. They have to let them, you can't make 59-cent cheeseburgers and pay someone $15 an hour. It's not going to happen.
Well, here's
you can with three of them.
Here's my part of the problem, though, is that I think we're all stuck with this mindset that working at a fast food restaurant is an entry-level job you have when you're a teenager, and then you move on to progressively better paying skilled positions. And unfortunately, I don't know how true that is anymore because our economy sucks.
Yeah, and that's true.
I know so many people who are dying to have a good job to move up the ladder to do whatever, and there is no job anywhere.
That's true.
At the Gap, but to work at McDonald's,
a gas station, somewhere like
you know,
that.
When you're why 30 years old, that's all you can do. And if you have kids and what, like, that's not enough money. And they won't give you 40 hours because then they have
to
give you benefits.
Nobody told you to have kids, though. You know what I mean? I could whine about having kids all day long. That was my decision. If you have kids, you made that choice. You should have looked at it like,
but even if you don't have kids, I mean, even if it's just you by yourself and your manager will never give you over 39 hours because then you're full time and they have to give you benefits and you're never going to get overtime. You're never going to get anything and you can't get a better job. I mean, I still think for a lot of people, it's an opening job. It gets your feet wet. You move on. But I know a lot of people, I mean, where I teach, I meet a lot of people who are in their, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and they just cannot get a job anywhere except at this fast food
restaurant.
It's
expectations.
Sandrini's Italian and Basque restaurant, located at 1918 I Street, offers a diverse selection of Italian and Basque delicacies, beer and whiskeys from around the world, and live music every weekend. For more information about concerts and events, you can follow Sandrini's at facebook.com/Sandrini's Bar or call them at 661-322-8900.
Bonnie's Best Cafe. Freshly made sandwiches, salads, soups, and desserts featuring homestyle casserole dinners to go. Bonnie's Best Cafe has two locations to serve you. 1900 21st Street, open Monday through Friday 9 to 5 for sandwiches and until 6 p.m. for casseroles. 1002 19th Street is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Phone number is 661-323-7224. And the website is bonniesbestcafe.com for their current menus.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
You expect them to pay you more, but you don't have enough expectation out of yourself to better yourself, to get a better job. Wouldn't you rather work as a bank teller than a McDonald's teller?
Have you ever worked in fast food?
I worked in pizza.
You worked at pizza?
Yeah, I won't work in fast food. I'll starve to death.
You worked at Ritzy Burger. Does that count?
This is where I'm coming from. When I say expectation, you don't hold yourself at an expectation. You will go and do the crappiest job in the world, but then you want to get paid as much as somebody who has a degree and somebody who really went to school and wants to learn and wants to move up and has expectations for themselves. I always told myself I would never, ever work at a fast food restaurant. Never. Pizza was about the lowest I would go on the scale because pizza's it's pretty chill environment. You know, like I did it when I was working a job and made some extra money.
Right.
And it's a different environment than a regular fast food. You know, as looked down upon. And I hold myself to that standard, like, because I'm not going to let myself be stuck in some halfway job that doesn't pay you anything.
I guess the problem I have is if I could only get a job at a fast food restaurant, I would hope to think that I live in a society that values people enough that if I worked a full-time job, which actually existed in a fast food restaurant, I worked at a fast food restaurant 40 hours a week. I put in my time. I was loyal to the company. I would at least make enough money to rent a one-bedroom apartment, to drive a used car, to pay my bills. That's what I would expect to happen without needing government assistance from a corporation who's getting billions of dollars in tax breaks is then turning around and forcing its people to get government assistance.
We should definitely pay the people enough to where they can live.
Yes.
I mean, with inflation and with the dollar where it is, you know, I mean, that is perfectly acceptable. But one thing that I think people fail to realize is that a lot of people don't want to help themselves.
Sure.
Like you said, they went back. They want less hours because now they're making less money because they're not getting the assistance that they had before.
Right.
So they weren't smart enough to figure that out beforehand. I don't think you deserve $15. You know what I mean? Like you're already mooching off of me. I pay for you.
Well, it's a mess, man, because like restaurants on average in the article I was reading have a 4% profit margin. Like it's that tight.
Yeah.
4% profit. So it closed down. Tons of restaurants just had to close. They couldn't, they can't pay 15. Yeah. I have to say, as a business owner, I would love to be like the Google guy that's like, oh man, I give you benefits and I pay you all this stuff. I would love to do it, but it's just, I don't even make that, you know?
And that's one thing with the government, like, you know, like how the government affects jobs and stuff. Like, what do they do? Oh, let's pay everybody more money. Guess what? Restaurants closed down.
Right.
You just lost jobs for people.
Right.
All because you went off of their emotions. And you know, it's a huge, huge issue. Like, why are there no jobs in America? Why can't somebody work at a better place than a McDonald's?
Because we don't want to pay the prices for the product,
well,
is why.
Yeah, well, no, not even that. It's that the government has business owners held down. Like, if you want to get employees, you're paying all kinds of money.
Right.
You got all kinds of issues going into having
one. Well,
because
they're trying to make sure you have workman's comp if someone gets hurt, that you're treating them right. It's, you know, a lot of it has good intent. It's for the protection of the employee. But I have a thought experiment for you, Dave. What if all of a sudden fast food was twice the price across the board? What would everyone do? What's the population do? Because now they can pay people. The profit margin's still there. If you accounted for, if you went ahead and offset the wage pay by increasing the price of food, but it happened everywhere. So everyone couldn't just go, well, I'm not eating McDonald's anymore. I'm getting Little Caesars, man. Like, it's just all across the board. Everybody's more expensive equally. Would people continue to buy it? What happens?
Yeah, you would. Like gas.
People would still continue to buy it. I think people would buy it less. I think a lot of fast food restaurants would close. I think people would suddenly realize the price factor of me being able to cheaply, you know, pay for fast food versus me going to the store and cooking something. That equation would radically change and people would start cooking their own food because if it's costing about the same, because that's part of the problem. I mean, a family can eat at a fast food restaurant for cheaper than they can go to the grocery store and buy healthy food.
Yeah,
I mean, I can go buy, you know, you can at a typical grocery store.
Healthy food's
you
expensive.
Healthy food's expensive. Yeah. And especially if you're in the inner city, if you don't have a car, if you live, you know, where there isn't an Albertsons for miles and miles around you and you just live in a poor inner city location, but there's a McDonald's a mile away.
You're going to McDonald's.
You're eating at McDonald's because have an option.
Those are called fast food deserts. I think that's a Michelle Obama term. Yeah.
And there's really cool things that are happening, like in Chicago and Los Angeles, there's like these mobile farmers markets that sell really, really cheap produce, and they drive like these buses to cheap neighborhoods, and they'll park in this neighborhood for a day, that neighborhood for a day, so people who can't get to a grocery store know that on Tuesday this really good fresh food is going to show up here, and they can buy cheap produce so they can cook something. But that's rare, and it's, you know,
it's hard. A dollar at the grocery store will get you way more calories of crap.
That's what I was going to say.
If
you took $20 to the grocery store, you can get five times as many calories as you can, you know, good food.
Yes.
Like you get some lettuce and some stuff like that, you know, and then you're going to have all of this other stuff that has way more calories and is way worse for you, but you have enough to feed your family.
Right.
You know, like it just doesn't work out. It's not right.
As an individual, you can do it. Like right now I'm on that diet and I got my meals down to $2.
As an individual,
but as a family, it's hard. It's hard.
Your kids don't want to eat.
I don't know why that doesn't equate,
though.
That should still work out.
But I mean, you can do it. I mean, I can, when it's the end of the month and I'm broke, I mean, I can eat for nothing. I can, you know, I can go buy two bags of split peas for a dollar, throw in two bouillon cubes, put it in a pot all day, and I've got split pea soup.
Yeah.
I can make big batches of cheap food and eat it, but most people don't know how to cook, aren't willing to cook, don't know what to do.
Don't have the time.
You're just gonna run to the grocery store and see all this raw ingredients everywhere that you don't know what to do with. And,
that brings up a good point about people not knowing how to cook because of the fast food culture that's happened. Like we're a couple generations in now. I watched a thing on a BBC about fast food babies. And there are some kids that are like 5 years old that have never eaten regular food. Like you said, your nephew hadn't eaten broccoli ever. And he's how old?
Now he's at the time he was like 20, I think.
That's crazy. So this girl, they were showing this girl, her kid every day eats like pizza or KFC.
Yeah.
And that was it, dude. And the girl was like 24 parenting. And she's already had a heart attack. But then her mom said, well, I couldn't get her to eat anything. I didn't want her to starve. So she fed her. Mm-hmm. But it's two generations in now. And it's just, she didn't know how to cook though. She had no idea how to cook anything.
That has nothing to do with fast food. That has everything to do with bad parenting. When you let your kid decide what they're going to do and you don't tell them what to do. And this is a whole nother topic. I can go for a day on this. I mean, when you got a 5-year-old walking around, he weighs as much as a grown man. Like that is an issue. Like you're letting your kid eat that fast food every single day. And he cries. Well, he cries. He cries if he doesn't get his cheeseburger and his toy. You know what? Let him cry. And when he gets hungry, he's going to go in there and get a yogurt or go in there and get something that's healthy for him. Eat a celery stick with some peanut butter on it. Like you little fat 280-pound 5-year-old, you get slapped. All right. So all you fast food lovers, don't be retarded.